it. Bye-bye.
This is your Orioles Radio Network Game Rewind.
Now, the Orioles back at Camden Yards here tonight, and they're trying to get back in the win column after tasting defeat last night. Yeah, last night, beaten by the Blue Jays, where the Orioles' offense was certainly good enough. 8 runs, 16 hits. But the pitching last night, not so good. Giving up 11 runs and 11 hits, including 3 home runs off the bat of Kendrys Morales. So tonight, they'll try and get things straightened out again. They had won 7 in succession. The skipper, Buck Showalter, and the manager's report right after this.
Rocket Botko here with Orioles manager Buck Showalter. Tonight's manager's report. Before we look at the call-ups in tonight's game, just looking back last night, Jeremy Hellickson gives up 7 runs, all with 2 outs. The 2 home runs off Michael Givens with 2 outs. Was that maybe the more frustrating part of last night, is you guys were that close to getting out of an inning and just couldn't finish?
Yeah, and so were they. And we scored some runs with 2 outs. It's I don't want to get over simple here, but there's 3 outs in the inning. You got to get all 3 of them, and until you get them, the inning continues, obviously. But that was frustrating because, you know, you're a pitch away, a defensive play away, and, you know, we just couldn't keep the ball in the park. We scored enough runs to win last night.
And going back to Givens, I believe his ERA for August was over 5, and it's pretty much confined to those 3 outings. What were you seeing from him compared to maybe previous months?
Well, that's the life of a relief pitcher. You know, you live in these small moments, but Mike rebounds well, and he will. Just his command. You know, he comes in, walks down 4 straight pitches, and nothing that strike one wouldn't solve. And, we know he's capable of pitching at a high level, and he had the most rest last night with the 6-man pin and the Rule 5 pick here. We were at a – and that's the things we had to do to win the previous series. And that's why it was important. If we could have got through the 6th inning last night, we had a shot with our starter.
And Darren O'Day on the flip side, only 2 runs allowed in August. How valuable was he beyond just being that effective, but the way you were using him, where we've seen him warming up in the 5th inning, 6th inning, it wasn't just the standard like setup role that he'd been using in past years?
Well, it's a tribute to Darren's ego too, because he just wants to pitch. He wants to make contributions, and he knows, you know, he's mature enough to know how important, you know, getting out of those innings, keeping the game engaged, you know, and then it may not be work that's headline worthy, but by some people it is for us, because, you know, you look back at the way a game ends, if Darren doesn't come in and do the job that he's been doing for us, and he's very versatile, and he's a guy that defends himself against left-handed hitters which is very unusual for a guy from that arm angle.
Rocket Botko back with Orioles manager Buck Showalter. Tonight's manager's report. I referenced the call-ups earlier. Some new guys here. I want to start Chance Sisko. He's the 3rd catcher, rated as a top prospect in the organization. How much would it benefit him, you think, being here, especially this time of year, whether or not he gets much playing time?
Well, I think it's all guys that come up here, but especially someone from his background. We like our catchers here. We think that we hope that's our catchers next year, but it's nice to have some depth there with Chance Sisko. And I think just being able to watch and how giving our 2 catchers are of information. I already saw Caleb and Wellington in there with him talking about the hitters on the other team. And you know, there's also the benefit of looking around going, wow, this is what they're talking about. You know, I might need to get stronger. I might need to put more thought into my conditioning. I might need to – because this first time in their life they played in September except for an instructional league. And I think it can be nothing but a positive for him if he can turn out to be the player that we think he might be.
I know there were no trades made last night before the deadline, but does that acquiring a Pedro Alvarez or bringing him here almost feel like it's an acquisition? So all of a sudden you got a veteran left-handed bat with that track record, that kind of power?
Yeah, with JJ around the corner, and we got Rickard back. Joey's been a mainstay for us, and, you know, everybody can make a lot of trades, and God bless them, but we added some good players and two pitchers that can help us. I think Rich Rodriguez is a really interesting guy.
And what specifically, I mean, I saw his numbers and they were outstanding, and it seemed like he was flying under the radar a little bit. What do you like about him?
Well, we're going to have to protect him anyway at the end of the year, and he's a guy that's really graduated. He's always had great stuff, and, his fastball plays up, plus breaking ball. He's a 2-pitch guy, but he's got that breaking ball that has more downward angle that really creates some plane changes for left-handed hitters. But we'll see. You know, in years past, he's had a little problem with the closer games, but he's graduated from that this year, and he's going to get a chance to pitch in some meaningful situations here.
I know J.J. Hardy's here. What's the plan for him now?
J.J.'s going to probably get an injection this afternoon on his elbow. He's got like what you might call tennis elbow. Shoulder is going through regular spring training period. All things going well, he should be a player for us Monday or Tuesday.
Thank you, Bob. Take it back upstairs to Joe Angel.
All right, Rock, thank you. Very special day today for the Orioles and for young man. His name is Jimmy Martino. He was signed by the Orioles today to a special one-day contract under very special circumstances. Dan Duquette, the club general manager, earlier today made the announcement.
Hello, everybody. Thanks for joining us today. We're here to announce a special one-day contract with Jimmy Martino and the Baltimore Orioles. Jimmy is a terrific young ball player from Fallston, Maryland. I want to thank and introduce his parents, Cindy and Patrick, and their family for being here today, as well as his friends and our friends with the Make-A-Wish Foundation in Mid-Atlantic. Jimmy's a 17-year-old power-hitting left-handed first baseman. We like Jimmy's determination and his grit. He's a fighter, and he gives his best effort every single day. So it sounds to me like he's a perfect fit for our organization.
Now, there you go. Jimmy Martino. Today, he is an Oriole. Make a wish, and you never know. Jimmy Martino, he will visit with Mike Bordick when we continue with the warm-up show right after this.
Mike Bordick here from Camden Yards on the pregame show. And earlier today, I had the pleasure of visiting with Make-A-Wish Foundation member Jimmy Martino from Fallston, Maryland. He was diagnosed with a brain tumor back in January of this season. Great interview. And Jimmy Martino will be next when we come back on the Orioles Radio Network.
We're visiting with Jimmy here today. Pretty special day, donning the Orioles uniform. Signed a contract here this afternoon with Dan Duquette. How you feeling today, Jimmy?
I'm feeling great. It's just, like I said before, during a while I got my signed the contract, I'm just speechless. It's been a lifelong dream to play for the Orioles ever since a little kid. Always had the thought of me standing in the left-hander batter's box in Camden Yards and just playing in Camden Yards and playing first base for the Orioles. It's been a lifelong dream of mine.
So you grew up in Fallston, played baseball,
yeah.
Right? Tell us about your Little League experiences and coming up through middle school and even into high school.
Well, like when I was younger, you got those kids who are swinging at everything when they're younger, and you got those kids who never swing. I was one of those kids. I was afraid to swing the bat. I was afraid of the balls, not swinging at anything. But now as I gotten older, I start swing more aggressive at the plate, and start swinging more game, more hits than I used to. So it's been a long journey.
Right.
So, yep.
So, first baseman?
Yep,
first baseman. So who's your idol as far as first baseman goes?
Well, my dad, he played in high school. He played first base. And also for, major league, probably Chris Davis, yeah. Too. So, yeah.
That's awesome. My father, a great role model in baseball as well. So your dad had an influence on your baseball career?
Yeah, and the same with the number. That was his number back in high school. So, I thought it was a good number. So, yeah, chose number 1-5.
Love it. And your dad played first base?
Yeah, played some
first
base.
So following right in your dad's shoes, huh?
Yeah.
So who's a better hitter?
That's kind of a close call, but probably my dad. He plays in a men's league in Harford County called the Harford Men's League. So he plays for them. He plays in two different teams, the over 30 and over 40 league.
Dang.
So number 15 in both of them.
Awesome.
So he's a power hitter.
It's power
huge. So yeah, it's been just love baseball. I played ever since I was 4 years old in T-ball. So yeah, it's been, I love the game.
Yeah. So do you know a lot of the history of the Orioles?
Some of it. Yeah, so know that. Well, here is not very good fact about us. We haven't won a World Series since 83, but hopefully this year we will be back in the series. So
yeah, we got to pop some champagne here at Camden Yards, right?
Oh, yeah. We could still do that if we win the division.
So obviously you know a little bit of the history of the Orioles. Do you Do you know that I played for the Orioles?
Yes, I do.
Yeah?
Yep. Actually, a few years ago, we went to a fan fest, and like some of the pictures going to meet with some of the old Orioles players. We got actually, me and my mom and my dad got pictures of you there.
All right.
So, yeah.
I love it. Well, thanks. One of the old Orioles. Thank you very much. So, I heard you wanted to meet Adam Jones. I'm sure you're going to meet a bunch of the Oriole players, but what a great player, right? Adam Jones, great team leader.
Yeah, he's a great guy and everything. Like, he's one of my favorites, but like I said before, and like Buck Showalter said, I like our guys.
Absolutely. You think Buck's going to let you get out there and throw the ball around a little bit?
Who knows? Yeah, maybe.
Signed you the contract, right?
I know, right? maybe tonight I'll hit the walk-off home run. Who knows?
That's what I'm talking about right there. So you're taking out the lineup card and first pitch, maybe? Anything there?
I don't know.
No. Well, we'll have to talk to Buck about that too, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll be cool. Right.
How about going and make the pitching change, something like that? That would be awesome.
Yeah, walk out there. Just...
Yeah, you probably got some good impersonations, right?
Yeah.
These guys down to the T, Buck Showalter especially.
Yeah.
What do you got with the hand in the back pocket when he goes out there?
I don't know.
We're gonna have to ask him.
Yeah, and what's with the jacket he wears? Like, yeah, he wears a jacket. I like it. So yeah, it's cool. He's a cool guy.
He is. Boy, he's changed this culture, hasn't he?
I know. Like, yeah, he's changed Orioles around since the moment he came here. So, yeah.
Yeah, probably picked up right when you were, middle school when the winning started.
Yeah, 2012. Yeah, I was 12 years old.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So what's next for you, Jimmy, after this great day and enjoy the ballpark? You're going to still play some ball?
Yeah. Next spring, be back at it again. I wasn't able to play this past spring, but next spring I'll be back at it playing again. So hope that then, like, so I told my dad, well, so I had a port where, like, and I couldn't do so much, like, that's why I couldn't play baseball too, one of the reasons. But I told him the day I get my port removed, I want to go to the batting cages. But I've had my port removed, haven't been to batting cages since. But I do want to go to batting cages and start working, getting back into the baseball routine, so be back for next year.
Awesome. Sounds great. Well, best of luck with everything and enjoy this day, Jimmy. Appreciate the interview.
Thank you so much. It was nice meeting you.
Nice meeting you, too.
Now, that was Jimmy Martino. Orioles baseball is next.
And hello again, baseball fans. Joe Angel, Mike Bordick back at Camden Yards. Well, it took 4 hours and 27 minutes. It took 13 innings. And by the way, the second time this season that the Orioles have won a ball game in 13 innings. Remember Detroit? They beat the Tigers in 13 innings, but that game lasted over 5 hours. This one, 4 hours and 27 minutes, and it was ended in the 13th inning by the two best buddies, Manny Machado with his fourth hit to get the inning started, and then Manny scored from first base on a scoop double to the gap in right center. And they went by a 1-0 score, and Mike Bordick, you get a game like this, I mean, the pitching has to be awfully good. And there was also some phenomenal defense along the way, on both sides, great defense. But the Mancini catch and then the game-winning double, it ended almost suddenly.
Yeah, it sure did. And that play by Mancini, almost like a motivator, you know, for Manny Machado and Jonathan Scope to do their magic at the end of that ball game. And sometimes that's what you feed off of in these extra inning games. What's going to give you that little extra burst of energy at the end? And Mancini gave it to him. That was an impressive play, taking one away from Steve Pierce.
And, of course, Hernandez in right field for them. Made a great catch on a ball that was hit by Castillo that would have won the game in the ninth inning, too. Right. So, again, both sides.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we can go back through these 13 innings and find some big plays. Steve Pierce made a nice play at first base, taking one away from Castillo. Yeah, that beautiful play out in right field. But it all comes down to the pitching. I mean, both starters set the tone. Piagini and Gosman threw some gems.
How about the play in the ninth inning on a play at the plate that would have won the game for the Blue Jays?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Jonathan Scope making a beautiful play on a hard hit ground ball, showing a little bit of a range, maybe a couple steps to his left, but then throwing a strike to home, and Caleb Joseph putting a sensational tag down on him, just sacrificing the body, diving back across to get Pilar. So, yeah, some big-time plays in a tight ball game and kind of weird games. First two games of this series. Last night, the big blowout, and then this one, a pitcher's duel.
How about Jimmy Giacobonis, who's in the minor leagues with some really impressive numbers, and all of a sudden becomes a September call-up, and then all of a sudden pitching in a 13-inning game in the middle of a pennant race, and he comes in, he throws one inning. Now, he did walk a guy, but he got out of it, and he winds up with his first major league win.
Now, good stuff for Giacobonis. You know, a deserved call-up because his numbers down in AAA were outstanding. So coming up here, you know, sometimes it takes a little bit to settle in at the major league level. But this is the fire right now. September with a chance to go to the postseason. You better be on your game, and this could have sparked Giacobonis to really be a contributor here down the stretch for the O's.
Well, Bordy, you mentioned the pitching. Kevin Gausman, marvelous. He went six scoreless. So Kevin Gausman now, his last two starts, he's gone 13 consecutive scoreless innings. Yeah? Certainly a good sign.
Oh, he's got it rolling right now. Yeah, everything working. Great command of the fastball. That changeup was unbelievable today.
Hey, Brad Brock, two scoreless. How about Britton? He came in. He went two scoreless. And then Miguel Castro, he goes two scoreless. And then Giacobonis comes in, and he wins it thanks to Jonathan Schoop with a game-winning double in the bottom of the 13th inning. And, Kevin Gausman was real good, but so was their guy, Joe Biagini. I mean, the Orioles in the first inning had runners on first and third with nobody out. But then Schoop struck out, and then Jones struck out, and then Mancini came up to hit. And the 1-0 pitch has a shot up the middle, and the lunging grab there by Goins. He's going to go to first base to get Mancini. A little well hit one hopper, but it is out number three. So at first and third, nobody out. They do not score. And they lose Adam Jones in the process. Yeah, Adam Jones got tossed after that strikeout from the dugout over in the Oriole dugout. So Jones got just one at bat in the game tonight. Then in the second inning, Orioles had two base runners and couldn't score. In the third, they had runners on first and second with nobody out. But then Gentry, he struck out. And then Mancini struck out. And then Davis came up to hit. Here comes the 2-2. Davis broken back, ground ball into the shift. There's Goins out there, right side. He throws Davis out. So the Orioles come up empty again. And they are now 0-for-7 in the first three innings with runners in scoring position. That's right. They stranded six base runners in the first three innings. But Kevin Gausman was in command. He gave up, Kevin Gausman, six innings, no runs, five hits, one walk, wound up with eight strikeouts, and big strikeouts when he needed one. And he delivers 1-2. Here's a swing and a miss. He gets his man. And he got it with a fastball at 96. He finally gets Pilar as he picks up his eighth strikeout. And Kevin Gausman tonight against the Blue Jays has now gone six scoreless innings. Meanwhile, Joe Biagini, the Blue Jays starter, boy, did he settle in after that third inning. At one time, he retired 12 in a row going into the bottom of the seventh inning when he struck out Trumbo, and then he struck out Seth Smith, and then he got two strikes on Caleb Joseph. All right, Caleb Joseph, one ball and two strikes, and Biagini, he's been real stingy of late. He delivers 1-2. Caleb goes right through it, and he goes down on strikes. And how about Joe Biagini? He now has 10 strikeouts. His last five outs have all been strikeouts. And he has retired 15 Orioles in succession. So there you go. Biagini and Kevin Gausman both outstanding in the game tonight. And that's why it was nothing-nothing going all the way to the top of the ninth inning. Well, Britton came in to pitch. He gave up a double to Pilar to get the inning started. But then he got a ground ball out as Bautista came off to pinch hit, a ground ball that did get Pilar to third base. And then Barney came up to hit. Orioles brought the infield in for a possible play at the plate or to try to keep Pilar at third base, and this is what happened. So now 1-1, and here it comes. And a ground ball, Schoop got it, play at the plate, tagged by Caleb, out at the plate, out at the plate. They got him at the plate. Pilar is tagged out. And a ball hit to Schoop with the infield in. Schoop got rid of it. Caleb caught it. And then a sweeping tag to get the out. There you go. The run was cut off. And then came the bottom of the ninth inning when the Orioles had a chance to win the game, as Mancini led off with a single. Then there was a pitching change. Chris Davis was hit by a pitch. So there were two on base with nobody out. But then Trumbo popped out, Smith struck out, and then Castillo came off the bench as a pinch hitter, and, well, he almost won the game. And so Barnes again looks in for a sign. Castillo waits, count 3-2. And here it comes. And a fly ball, right field, pretty deep, backing up. Hernandez backing up at the wall. He's going to jump up. He caught the ball. He caught the ball on the back of the warning track, jumping toward the wall. He caught it and held it to get the third out. And for the moment, that saved the game. And eventually, talk about saving a game. How about the 13th inning? Still nothing. Yeah, the bullpens had gone to work. That's when Yakabonis came in to pitch. A ground out to begin the inning. But then Donaldson got a base on balls. That's when Morales came up to hit, and he would ground out 4-6-3 with Donaldson taking second base. And so the winning run, the lead run, was in scoring position with two outs. Steve Pierce came up to hit, and that's when Trey Mancini got in the way. And the 2-0 pitch. Fly ball to deep left, backing up is Mancini. He's going to reach up, dives, and made the catch. Racing back toward the warning track, he jumped up the ball behind him. He caught the ball and held it to get the out. How about that play to save the game? And then came the bottom of the 13th inning. Manny Machado, a leadoff single off of Donaldson in back of the bag at third base. So Manny was on base with nobody out, and that's when his buddy Jonathan Scope came up to hit, and he found the gap. So now here's Scope. And Jonathan, line drive out toward right center. That ball is in the gap. That ball is on the warning track. It's up against the wall. Here comes Manny around third, being waved in. Here comes the throw. It is too late. Machado scores. And the ball game is over. And the Orioles, in the 13th inning, in the win column, they win it 1-0 on a Scope double to drive in Manny Machado. Yep, that's how it ended. And so they take the game 1-0 in 13 innings. Same two teams again tomorrow night. Mike Bordick, in a moment, he's got, I imagine he's got Scope, he's got Buck Showalter, when we continue with the Browns Honda City postgame show after this.
Let's send it downstairs and listen to Jonathan Scope.
Just a tremendous victory, Jonathan Scope, game-winning RBI. Jonathan, congratulations. How about that game?
Thank you. You know, long game, but we got to get the win, no matter
have
how.
Have you ever played in a ball game going that deep with no score in the game?
Not that deep with no score. I've been long about with score, you know, but the pitcher, you know, they go out there, you know, on both sides, you know, they throw really good today.
So what are you thinking there? You know, I mean, you got 100 RBIs. Congratulations on that. That's quite a milestone. 101, are you just thinking hit it hard somewhere?
I was almost trying to hit it off somewhere, you know.
I feel something coming. Oh, mercy.
There we go. Adam Jones, he reappears.
The pie man cometh.
Hello.
Hey, I thought he was out of the game.
No, he's here.
Clearly he's here. Jonathan, how about the defensive plays that were made in this game, both sides, both the Orioles and Toronto? What a great defensive.
Yeah, you know, good defender. And, you know, that's how we are, you know. We're going to pitch, we're going to defend, and we're going to score some runs. But today, the runs wasn't there because the pitch was good. But, you know, we got more victory.
We were talking in the training room yesterday, Bobby Dickerson and you, and we were talking about different angles. So here you're at second base. When Steve Pierce, who we know well because he's one of your teammates, hits that rocket to left field, what are you thinking?
To be honest, that was a great play by Trey. Really good play. No, it was, go get it, Trey. Go get it. And Trey, get up and get it. You know, there was a saver there. It saved us the game.
Jonathan, this team has been like this all year long. You are a comeback ball club. It's a never-say-die kind of situation. Here at this point of the year, September 1, I mean, this is an enormous win, is it not, for you?
Yeah, of course. You know, this win is big. You know, big win, you know, because every other team lost, you know, so this team is big, so we gain a little bit more at the wild card, and, you know, it was a good game today.
Don't tell me you're looking at the scoreboard.
I was really looking at the scoreboard, you know, because they lose, you know. And this win was really, this game was a really good game.
Just what the fans are doing. Jonathan, congratulations on a great ball game.
Thank you.
Good stuff right there from Jonathan Scope. Boy, you could tell the excitement in his voice. Well, the Orioles with another gem tonight. Yeah, it was 13 strong innings, but the offense coming through. Jonathan Scope, big game-winning RBI, 101 RBIs on the season for Scope. And, of course, Manny Machado, another strong offensive game, starting things off with the single and scoring all the way from first base. But if not for that Trey Mancini play, boy, who knows what would have happened. So let's take it downstairs. Buck Showalter's post-game comments.
What's up? I feel like
just
George Clark.
All this time later, just a curiosity, the Adam thing. He just yelled something from the dugout and got thrown? Or
he did what?
Did he just yell something from the dugout?
Well, I think
thrown?
It was from the batter's box to the dugout, and I didn't get over in time. You'd like to think that the it's unfortunate. I'd like to see, and it's not like he's up there at the in the around the plate area arguing anything. He's walked away. He's in the dugout and pitch away from moving on to the next hitter. But you know, the that was from Brian. Is that Brian or
yeah.
Okay? What are you gonna say? It's unfortunate. I don't like it to happen. Adam doesn't. You know, I don't know everything that was said. And other than that, the guy had a pretty good game behind the plate, I thought, for the number of innings and calls he made.
So this is one of those games where you could pull a lot of things out of it beyond just the walk-off. Mancini's catch in the top half of the inning, Manny's play at third, things like that.
Which play of Manny's play at third? Those plays don't get made by the third baseman, okay? Because he makes them look so – it's the velocity he can create on the move with different arm angles. Both catchers did a great job, you know, helping putting zeros up, and Castro didn't want to pitch him tonight. You know, he felt great today and was trying to stay away from him as much as I could. You know, Brad and Zach each gave us two innings. And Ekobonus got his first win, I would hope, because I knew there was a lot of clamor in the clubhouse before I left them celebrating it with him, let's put it that way.
You said plays that like a lot of third basemen don't make. The play to Jonathan second base when he came home with Pillar running. How tough of a play is that?
You know, Bobby's real good. Dickerson's real good at reading whether the guy's going or not with infield in. We try to change our depths a little bit by his read. And, you know, Pillar's real good at that. And John might be the only second baseman that makes that play because of the arm strength. And Caleb stuck it in there. Because, you know, there's a slight back door open there because you got it from that angle. And, you know, that there's so many plays like that. That's a really – it's a good game to win, but you got to do so many things for it to happen. I knew about the third or fourth inning. A lot like Dylan, Biagini had four pitches going at any point in the count, and it was a challenge. But you know, our bullpen was as good as theirs tonight.
What's the injury to Gentry and how long?
It's a laceration and fracture. So special to see him tomorrow or Sunday. And the doctor said it's not displaced, which would be a longer term. So, you know, we'll have a better idea about how long the next day or so when the doctor looks at him. The bunt. And then he finished up the bat. But, you know, I was talking to him in my office before I came down here. Pretty tough. He's been a big piece for us. And I know y'all have gotten to see the things he does every night for us. That's a loss for us.
Buck, you're right to compliment the bullpen tonight. But talk a little bit about your starting pitcher tonight.
Very quietly. He's, you know, here's another guy that seems to really prosper this time of year with the extra rest. I mean, this guy's leading the league in starts. Okay, and Kevin has very quietly really come on in a time of need, and he was solid, and I was hoping to get that other inning out of him, but it just wasn't there for him. You could see he was leaking a little oil, but he's maintained stuff, you know, later in games too. He's really shown some durability this year.
Earlier in the season, he was searching for his splitter a little bit. Just the progression that pitch has made, is that tonight kind of an example
well,
of that?
Yeah, I think so. And the command of the fastball has been so much better. And that's really what set everything else up for him.
With Gentry's injury, does that make you maybe bring somebody else up that you wouldn't have otherwise?
Well, it brings the three pitchers into play if you want to go get them that haven't been down 10 days with the Oriole rule. So, you know, if you DL him, obviously he's not going to be able to play for the 10 days. It's just a matter of how long. But the one thing he can do is run. So you got to weigh that against it. You know, you can, once you get the splint in there and the, you know, the mitt over it, he might still be able to bring that to us in 10 days. But I don't think it's, you know, there's some moving parts there. We're going to have to see what the doctor says and see what the risk involved in. Of, you know, I'm sure there's going to be a period with a swelling. Everything's going to have to go down where you don't want to even risk sliding with it. So we'll see what he says.
Talk to the league by calling on me and saying he's catch when that ball hit over his head and he has really no angle.
You've seen, y'all been able to watch the process of him from being first baseman. When we saw it in spring training, all the work, I mean, little by little, and I'm sure you watched during BP, home and away, early BP. He's out there. He wants to be good at it, and he knows what an impact. And I tell you, the last month, it's really come together for him out there. You can tell his breaks, his confidence level, you know, getting a feel for the third deck. A lot of people miss coming to big leagues, the depth perception on the third deck that you never have in the minor leagues is really a challenge early on. But I never, you know, thought that he would throw and pick it up that quickly, but he has.
I know this isn't for you to decide, but is it time that Jonathan's name is starting, you should be in consideration for?
I was talking about it 2 months ago, if y'all remember.
And he keeps doing it in pressure situations.
John just, you know, I think there was a lot of pressure on Manny to score for John. Yeah, he would never heard the end of it. But he, well, I've been talking about it, you know, so I could use some help. You know, he's not, and I'm talking about both sides of the ball. But, you know, a lot of them that were shoe-ins a couple of months ago have kind of, might be behind him now. I'm trying to stay off the bulletin board here. I'm not too good at it. We good?
Buck Showalter and his post-game comments. Of course, trying to get some more votes for Jonathan Scope as the MVP talks start to wrap up here. And